Thank you, Mauricio. Let's take our Bible tonight. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel 37 and 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breeze, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask probably the fellow that helps me out most of my ministry, at least in word of prayer, Brother Mike Wheeler. Now we know from reading this passage, verse 11, that this is dealing doctrinally with the house of Israel. So I want all you theologians to know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. And I'm going to give you enough to get mad at me anyhow before you get mad at me doctrinally. So I know who it's written to. I'm going to give you a practical application. That'll do you a whole lot better than giving you something and make your head bigger before you leave. The nation of Israel is scattered. They're also blinded in part, as Paul said, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We're living in a day and age when a Jew can be saved. No difference between the Jew and the Greek. Same Lord over all. If he'll believe on the Lord Jesus, he can be saved. But Israel as a nation, is blind. It's blinded in part. They can't see it until Jesus comes back, and then thank God every eye will see him. But you talk about God Almighty taking back his wife Israel. You talk about reconciliation, boy. You talk about God's love. He's going to come back and give her everything he promised. And most of you wouldn't have to try to reconcile if you just treat her right. Do you love her like you used to? Do you date her like you used to? Do you romance her like you used to? No wonder why you're sleeping on the couch. I got 5 couches in my house. I ain't sleeping on there one. But there's coming a day when God's going to breathe again on Israel. And the nation of Israel is going to rise up. And that's what we've read about. And over in a few chapters over, it talks about that there's a throne. And underneath that throne, there's a river flowing. And everywhere that river flows, it revives. And it turns the desert into a spring morn. I'm telling you, one day it's going to be restored. Boy, what a day it's going to be. They're going to stand on their feet and worship their king again. This 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is a vision of the resurrection from death and life of Israel. The glorious resurrection of a nation. And I don't care what the red-haired fella says from Alabama, that is not in John chapter 3. That's the new birth. That is not the resurrection of a nation. You can tell him this redhead said so. When I was first saved, I went to Midwestern Baptist College. It was a good school. Tom Malone's a fine preacher. Puts out some good preachers. Put out Nagowski. But that's some good preachers. Those boys can preach. Don't know nothing. But they can take a verse and take a fit. They can go from revelation to revolution. They don't care if they can get around. They got a good delivery. They ain't got no sense. But when I was going there, Jack Van Eyfie, you know him. The living apocrypha, you know him. He used to quote the whole Bible, you know. He could, the whole New Testament. Now he changed. Now he has to get living Apocrypha. And that Roxella, good Lord, something wrong with her. I'm telling you, they take their hairs off and put them on the side of the bed at nighttime. I'm telling you, that's a shoddy-looking crowd there. But he says that this is the battle of Gog and Magog. Can't be. Because in the battle of Gog and Magog is in chapter 39, and those bodies are buried for it takes them 7 months to bury those bodies. These bodies are dried up bones. They've been bleached by the sun and blown by the wind and dried by the sand. And this is not the battle of Gog and Magog. This is the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Well, let's take a look at this patch and see what learning we can get from it. How did this vision come upon? Well, look at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Thank God that. And carried me in the Spirit. So being in the Spirit, underneath the influence of the Spirit of God, enable us to see things God's way. You don't need a vision. You got a book. You've got the complete book in your hands. You don't need to speak in tongues. You need a bridle for the one you got. Somebody said, let it go, brother. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that the King James is better than the originals, because you're dumb. The Bible says translation 5 times, that's it. Translation better than original. The Bible said, and God translated Enoch. Where was Enoch better? In a pre-flood world with a bunch of perverts? Or when God took him and put him up in glory with him? He was better translated than he was original. The kingdom of Saul, God translated into the kingdom of David. Where was the kingdom better under Saul? That measly mouth and yellow-bellied dog. Or was it better under David? A translation's better than an original. But that ain't good enough, because the Bible said, and you that were in the kingdom of darkness hath God translated into the kingdom of his Son. Where were you better lost without hope and without God or on God's side? Just tell them to go to Sheol. Kind way of telling them to go home. All right. He carried me. Thank God for that. Hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said. I wish I could see things the way God sees them. Some yins are thinking, God ain't ever going to do nothing with you. That's what Gideon thought. Judges chapter 6, Gideon's a coward. Midianites are coming, he's threshing wheat behind the threshing or behind the wine press. And God says, hey, O thou man of valor. Some of you would have said, he's talking to me. But Gideon said, who are you talking to, Lord? He said, you. Gideon knew he was a coward. God wasn't looking at today. God's got eternal eyes. God was looking to chapter 7 when Gideon stood up and defeated the enemy. God ain't through with you. You'd be pushing up lilies. All right. We're looking at things in the light of today. That's our problem. What we want, the temporal, today. You ain't looking at tomorrow, next week. Thank God God's got eternal eyes. If you get your eyes in vision with God, something will get done. You notice verse 2. It gives us a clue. These bones, you'll notice that they're dead. I believe I've met some of them. I believe there might be some here tonight. You ain't dry. You're very dry. Thank God that's why you come to the watering hole to get a drink. That's why we're here. Look at verse 2. He begins to talk. They're lying in a valley, obviously, because he has to look down into it. So he must be elevated. Just need common sense to understand the Bible. That's all you need. That's all you need. In fact, let me ask you a question. Ready, theologian? Was it raining? Was it sunshine when God made Adam? Say the Bible don't say, don't have to say. Use common sense. Say he made them out of dust of the ground. So, were it raining? Now you'll notice these bones, dry bones, very dry bones, are devoured, they're putrefied, there's no moisture in them, the sun and the wind took all the life out of them, it's the congregation of the dead. I'm so glad today I got a fountain that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And I dipped my ladle in that fountain 29 years ago at 25 years of age, and ain't ever been sorry I did. Wait a minute. Take a minute. How'd it come about? Well, the hand of the Lord was on me. Carried me in the Spirit. Look at verse 2. What was the vision? It was a picture of utter desolation. They were dry. They were very dry. Wrecked and ruined is what it is. Death. Indifference towards God. They became bleached bones. No evidence of life. Dried up. No life to them. I've seen the dead churches, very dry. I hate dead things. I hate undertakers. I hate them. If you're one, I hate you. We was putting new doors in the church and had to measure. You know, you got to measure these days. Where we're at, we bring them right into the church and have a big service. Singing, two preachers preach them, go put them in the hole. I said, how big does a door have to be to get a casket in? He said, come on down and see. Boy, that's a bad thing to do. So I went down there. They're creepy, man. I'm telling you, those folks is creepy. And I was standing there, knocked on the door. Door was open, walked in. I was looking around at everything, you know. No one was there. Went over there by one door, seen a stiff there. I walked back. Walked over there, seen one. Oh, I don't want to go there. I was kind of standing there. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, that guy grabbed me. Boy, I was ready. Come on. I want to hit you. He looks me up and down. I'm thinking, can I help you? I said, oh, depends what kind of help we're talking about. He's staring me up and down. Now, he's either queer or he's sizing me up as a new product. Amen. Then he takes me in this room. It's about big as that whole side there. Just looks like a car room, a showroom of a car. He said, you can look around and measure. Did you bring a tape? I said, I didn't bring no tape. So he said, well, just look around, see what you like, and we'll measure them, see what the big ones and the little ones and all that. And every one of those things had a mirror in them and a price tag. So we went down there and measured it up. And you know what I hate? I hate dead things. I like life. I like to watch the sunrise over the hills. I like to hear a whippoorwill. I like to hear the locusts cry in the mountains of North Carolina, Smoky Mountain. I like to hear the brook winding and the trout moving. I like life. I'm so tired of dead, dehydrated Baptists, I could regurgitate. Ezekiel sees an open valley and utter destruction. I remember years ago, for some reason, when I went to North Carolina, Carl Lackey kind of took a shining to me. And he would tell me, I'd go up there all the time, and I'd eat dinner with him every Monday. We'd meet in Statesville, and we'd eat. And I'd go to his meetings and preach. And had a good time. Had a lot of good preachers up there. And boy, the Spirit of God would blow through that old place years ago. It's dead now. But boy, the Spirit of God used to blow through there. And he'd say, Redhead, that's what he called me. He can do it, don't you do it. My real name's James. My friends call me Jim. You can call me Mr. Lenz. I said, yeah, preacher. He'd say, it's dry. I said, I know. He said, it's going to get dry, boy. He said, when it does, just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. I didn't know what he was talking about. I do now. You notice it was a testing question, verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said unto him, Thou knowest, Lord. Ezekiel didn't know the answer. The question comes from God. You know what I dread? I don't dread death. I looked at it a few times. I don't dread it. Don't really. Someone said, you want to go to heaven? I do. I just don't want to go to death. Do you? Say, I do. You're a liar. Biggest one in Escambia County. I dread spiritual withdrawal. I dread drying
dryness in preaching and dryness in praying and dryness in meetings. I dread spiritual withdrawal. I don't want to be dry bones.
Blind man would answer, what bones? Well, God would say, Ezekiel, son of man. Yes, Lord. What do you see, boy? Oh, God. What do you say? I see bones. What kind of bones? Dry bones. How dry? Some of you got a face making undertaker cry tonight. Very dry. Can they live? I know you could give them life, but God, I don't know if they want to live. I think they're getting settled into Laodicea and think they're pushing out preaching like Harold Saitler told us, like Jack Wood told us. He said, boy, you better keep a preaching because there's going to come a day when they're going to turn the head of old-timey, independent King James Baptist preaching into an evangelistical approach of teaching. These TV extortionists, I'm an evangelist. They say there's national revival. If you believe that, you watch Benny Hinn. Ezekiel? Yes, Lord. What do you see, boy? Lord, I see dry bones. Where are they at? They're in a valley. How dry? Oh, they're very dry. And God showed us the needs of people tonight, and there's a lot that got them. Some of you tonight got needs only God can meet. Some of you have got in a situation where it's going to take God to get you out. Abraham, I got to thinking about him the other day. He said, take your boy Isaac up there, offer him as a sacrifice. If he would have been a Christian today, you know what he said? Look at my boy Isaac. He's a carrying the wood. He's spiritual. He's doing it. He's carrying the wood. He's got the fire. I got the knife, but he's following me. We're rejoicing too much in what God has done and accepting it as though you've accomplished it. You know why? Dry bones. Watch. There's a truthful answer here in verse 3. Thou knowest, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel knew you and I know God can bring life. We know that God can restore backsliders. We know that God can call home the prodigals. But my faith is so small. I can't get God to do a thing. I can stand on my front porch and look at High Peak Mountain, about a mile. I can look at Flat Gap Mountain, about a mile and a half. I can look at Mineral Springs, about 2 miles. I can turn around and see Table Rock and Boone, Asheville, just in a cup of mountains. And I've went out there at times and looked at High Peak Mountain, strutted out my chest and said, I'm a King James Bible Bleeding Street preaching PBI graduate. Get thou up and be removed into the sea. That mountain said, ain't going to do it. Get up. All right. You don't want to go High Peak? All right. Flat that. Get up. Ain't going to do it. Mineral Springs. Shut up, boy. You ain't got enough faith. If you had just the faith of grain of mustard seed, I'd get up and move, but you ain't got it. There's your dry. He that dwelleth in eternity is to revive the hearts of the humble
and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones, the Bible said in Isaiah 57. That's what we need tonight, is old-timey revival.
Well, look at the remedy in verses 5 through 10. If these dispersed bones are to come again together, these dead and dry bones are going to be brought to life. The remedy is in verse 4. Prophesy. Preach to them, Ezekiel. It's in verse 9. Preach to them, Ezekiel. That's what he says. Preaching is more than a delivery. It's more than an outline. It's something divine. It's a divine calling. The message is more important than the messenger. It goes beyond the flesh. It goes to the very soul of man and convicts him of his sin and mends him of his misery. What we need is preaching.
Well, he said, call the winds together, boy. Verse 9, call the north wind. Call the south. Call the east and call the west and bring them in to you, Ezekiel, and then tell them to blow upon these that are slain. And so Ezekiel does as he was commanded, verses 7 and 10. And he preaches the word of God, and it brings life. I'm going to tell you something. It don't matter where you're from. This darn tomfoolery. I'm a southerner.
I'm a Yankee.
That's dumb. I'm the third of the litter of nine. First three was born in Richmond and Marietta, Georgia. The rest of our family, starting 7 years after me, was born in Detroit City. My family didn't get here till 1921. My grandpa fought with the Wehrmacht in World War I. So what's that make me? Makes me a mutt. Yankee britches and a southern top. You know what happens then, don't you? They both shoot at you. I learned of something a long time ago. I believe the Bible. It said God still lives in the north. North Carolina. Watch. He had to preach, and life comes through preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Being born again, not of corruption seed, but incorruption by the Word of God, living by the prayer. Thank God it brings forth life. Then he had to pray, and life comes through prayer. My daddy-in-law, Bob Bear, he's about 6'4", about 300 pounds, old union plumber, been drinking whiskey. Half gallon a day for 50 years. Every morning, half gallon of whiskey every day, 50 years. And after he gets done with that, has him a couple beers. He's a mean critter. Big old man, blonde hair, set jaw, steely, light blue-gray German eyes. He's a kraut. I've been praying for him for 29 years. 29 years. God said, hey,
what?
What do you see? He's dead. He's dry. He's very dry. Can these bones live? You know what I said?
After 29 years, I don't know. Thou knowest. Called us up about 3 months ago. Ain't drunk in 3 months. He ain't got saved yet. Can these bones live? Thou knowest, Lord, but it'd please you if you'd blow on them. I would appreciate it.
About 4 years ago, 5 years ago, my boy went wayward. Only boy we got, big old strapper, 6'8", about 200 pounds now. Told me he didn't want to be a preacher's son no more. Tired of Christians. Said, I seen the way they treated you, Daddy, and I don't want nothing to do with them. Went out and started drinking and taking drugs. He's saved. And God said, hey!
What? Don't need to talk to you now.
Yeah, you do. Can these bones live?
I don't know. I don't know if he wants to live. I raised him the best I could. I went where you told me to go. I did everything I could to try to please you. I know I failed you, but I know you could raise him up, Lord, but I don't know. I don't know if he wants to live. Said that the bones came together and there was a shaking of the bones. There wasn't for a dream of David Peacock being kind to my boy, Mike Wheeler being kind to my boy, Jerry Dunson being kind to my boy. My boy's turning around. Oh, he's not Mr. Faithful like you right now. He still knows your kind. He may not know you, but he knows your kind. Amen. Sons of thunder. Calling down fire. He knows. Amen. He's seen them.
Amen.
But I've seen the shaking of the bones. And he said, can they live? I said, oh God, thou knowest, please give them life. My brother, my oldest brother, John. Spurgeon knows him. If you'd have seen Spurgeon when I seen him, he didn't look so sophisticated back then. Preacher said he ain't got no cooth. He didn't have no cooth back then. I seen him right when he got out of jail. He came over to Tom Gresham's house. I was over there. He had long hair, Bell palsy, big old Fu Manchu. Didn't have a spot left to tattoo. Got saved. Bob Nick, he was an outlaw. He was a Zulu. Say, what's a Zulu? Ain't the tribe you run with. Motorcycle bums. My brother's one. Steele's one. He's 4 years older than me. He's 58. Got hair down the middle, down to his hind end, and beard down to there. Tattooed everywhere. Still a motorcycle band. Been one since about 68. I hadn't known him or found out. No one in our family knew about him for 20 years. No one could find him. And I've been praying for 20 years. God, let me find that boy. Let me tell him about Jesus. I've been typing him into the internet and typing him in. I forgot that his name is spelled J-O-N instead of J-O-H-N. And for years I've been trying to find him, J-O-H-N. And one night, about 11 o'clock of an evening, I typed in J-O-N and it came up. I sat there just like you did. I went, glory to God, hallelujah! Had his address, phone number. I call up on the phone. Calls himself Dusty. They all got an alias, you know. You know why? They're just trying to hide. I don't blame them. I wish I had me a few aliases. I said, is this Dusty? He said, it is. Who in the blank's this? I said, it's your little brother, Jim. He said, man, where you been? Where have I been? He said to me, why'd you call me? I said, John, I've been looking for you for 20 years. He said, but why did you call today? I said, because God gave me your number finally. And that old boy began to weep on the phone. And he said, you know what? He said, my girlfriend died 3 days ago. I buried her today.
And I came home and I ain't got nothing to live for. I thought I was going to blow my brains out. He said, you think this might be divine intervention? The shaking of the boat! Shaking of the boat! Said, did you get saved yet? No, not yet. Not going to push him. He's 58 years old. But I'm sure of dealing with him. He emails me all the time. Tells me he's thankful for me getting a hold of him. Now, he went back to my daddy. My daddy's 83 years old. Hadn't seen him in 20 years. Revived my daddy. Back with the family now. He's visited them. And he sends me poems. I think I'm going to give him Strobel's number. So I send him poems by a man by the name of Dylan Thomas. Some of you don't read. Dylan Thomas only writes about death. Every poem he wrote is about death. He'll write me back, why do you send me these poems about death? I say, because you're going there and your Harley's going to be parked. But I'm telling you, though he's dry, though he's very dry, there's still a God in heaven tonight. And no matter how far they get out or how deep a sin they get, God can still blow upon those that are slaves. Prophesize under the wind. You Christians have got weary and well doing. Some of you preachers, I know how it is. I've been in the same place for going on 19 years. I went from 0 to 100 to 40 to 150 to 30 to 70. It's not the day in the deep, 3 days in the deep that makes you sick or perils this or perils that. It's the care of all the churches that comes on you. Now, I know why you're coming down here. Because you're dry. No, excuse me. Very dry. He looks down at these bones, and verse 5, God begins to move, and God continues to move in 6, and then a noise comes from heaven. Thank God for that. God commands and the bones begin to move, and I learned that dead things move when God speaks. You notice verse 8, Alfred Reformation ain't good enough. Ain't good enough. Say, well, I dress right, I look right, I spit white, I'm a pretty good Christian, but you're dry. And everybody that's doing what you would really like to do that God won't let you do, you're condemning. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I remember when first night my boy came home drunk. He about killed me. I knew, since I'd been saved, I'd known that my past was going to catch up with me. I knew that 25 years for the devil was going to come and haunt me. And when it did, there was no Carl Lackey around to talk with. And there was no Jack Wood to talk to. And there was no Harold Seitler. I wouldn't have seen Harold Seitler before he died. And he preached that old message from his pulpit with a 3x5 card white double-breasted suit. And he preached, can God? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And I said, he can. He said, hey, boy, I want to talk with you. Who are you? Where are you from? I said, Midwestern. I told him where I was from. He said, hey, look back over yonder. He said, that's where Pete used to sit. Right back over there. He said, he's a good boy. good preacher. I know him well. He used to sit back there. I said, preacher, what can I do? I'm a dry. He said, kneel down, boy. And I did. Say why? Because he told me to. He was a shaking change in his pocket. Said, breathe on him. Get up, boy, go. I said, that's all there are to it, huh? That's it. But it began a moving of the Spirit of God in my own life. But I didn't have him to go to. So I had to get to a laurel thicket somewhere. I went up on High Peak Mountain and cried to God, oh God, I'm dry. I'm dry. I'm very dry. And if you don't do something for me, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And every time I need him, he shows up right on time. Ezekiel, you'll notice in verse 9, God said something and he did it. Verse 10, the Spirit of God brings life. In verse 11, nobody is totally depraved. When God steps in, we're not Calvinists, we're Baptists. In verse 14, God's got a place for you when he raises you up. God puts you in a church, stay in that church. Don't go hopping around. God's got a place to develop you. Amen. I remember I was listening to a preacher one time. He told this story. He said there was two boys about 10. Buddies. Pals. Said they, everywhere Johnny went, Billy went. They was out riding their bikes. They went to church together, went to school together, played football together, basketball together. Hey, it's good boys. Said they went, going down to the wreck, coming down a hill on their bicycles, and a car came speeding by and hit Johnny. When it did, he flew about 20 foot, went along the pavement, got messed up pretty bad. Police came. So when the police came, they asked Billy who he was, and he told them who he was and everything. Next thing you know, they went and got Johnny's mom and daddy, and went and got the preacher, and all the preacher called everybody, and they all got to the church and prayed, and they came down to the hospital and was praying. And they took Billy back home, and Billy said to his mama, he said, Mama, he said, I sure like to go down to the hospital to be with y'all when you pray down there for Johnny. She said, no, honey. She said, he's real bad off. He said, he's real bad. She said, he's, you just stay here with Mama. And Mama, we'll call her up and tell her how everything's going. He said, no, Mama, please let me go. She said, no, you can't go. So they took off, and old Billy went upstairs and climbed out to the window. He got his bike, rode down to the hospital. When he got down there to the hospital, he said, all those church folks and the preacher was down there praying. There was a desk there, and he looked up on that desk and said, Johnny so-and-so, room so-and-so. He said they was all down there praying and no one seen, so he slipped out and went down there and found that room, and he walked over there. Boy, they had IVs and they had tubes in Johnny's nose and tubes in his mouth and had an air machine pumping his breath for him because he couldn't breathe. And all of a sudden, he said he heard that door open. He went underneath the bed there and he hid, and it was two doctors. And those two doctors came when they was talking. They said, one doctor said, I think maybe we just ought to turn the machine off right now because this boy's dead. The other doctor said, well, listen, he said, all those Christian folk are out there and they're all praying. He said, let's give it an hour, just 1 hour. And the doctor said, all right, in an hour, we're going to come back and turn this thing off. He said, we're not going to just keep this thing going. This boy is dead. They walked out. Billy slipped out from underneath that bed. And he got over there and he grabbed old Johnny's hand. And he got down on his knees and he said this. He said, Johnny, he said, this is Billy. I'm your buddy. Yes. He said, breathe, Johnny. Just breathe! Mm. He said it went on for so long. And as he was kneeling down there telling Johnny to breathe, he said he started feeling this wet all over his shoulders. And he looked up and that doctor was there. Mm. And that doctor was just a flood of tears. And he picked Billy up and he said, "Boy," he said, "what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm getting Johnny to breathe. I don't want him to die." And he said, "Boy," he said, "because you were here," he said, "you got Johnny through the most critical hour of his life." And he said, "Look at him. Now he's breathing on his own." And Brother Dave, when you're out on the road, and no one liked the message, and they didn't give you no money, they said you're too rough, I ain't nobody. But I'm just saying, breathe, brother. Just breathe. You preachers, when they want to kick you out, when you've done your best, prayed, and preached the best you can, and they're still not listening. I'm here to tell you tonight, I ain't nobody, just a voice in the wilderness. But I'm here to tell you, breathe. Just keep on breathing. And if you'll breathe, you'll get through the most critical part in your life. And when you do, you'll realize the need of preaching for the dry bones of the church today. Let me ask you a question tonight. If you'll be honest with yourself and just honest with God. Say, "Preacher, I'm going to be truthful. I'm going to lift up my hand. I'm going to be truthful. I'm dry. I'm dry, preacher. I'm so dry. I tried to do my best. I'm trying to do all I can. I'm so dry, preacher. I'm so dry, I need God to blow upon me." Breathe! Just breathe! Don't quit, breathe! You young men that came up here, you don't know what you're getting into, but when you get into it, breathe! Learn to breathe! So the sun shines in the morning. If God spoke to you tonight, get up! Get at this altar and say, "Oh God, blow upon me! Take away this dryness that I might live! And get back to the place I used to be. I need revival! I need you. I'm dry. And I can't go no more. There's a coming a day. You ain't going to be able to go no more. The journey's too far." You can breathe.
All right, let's stand. Everybody stand, please, and get one of these paperback hymnals. So we're going to sing a little invitation here. Lord, these to come ahead and join us here at the altar. It's not an easy road. Nine little paperback blue. Now, if any of you folks down here at front want to help or any counseling, raise your hand. And if you don't, just private between you and the Lord. Nobody's going to bother you. But if anybody down here needs any help, just raise your hand. Yes, sir. All right, be with you right in a minute. Somebody else, anybody else here? Now, what I'm going to bother you is something private team, the Lord, get it fixed. Okay, but if you want any help, we're here. All right, if you would, number nine, it's not an easy road, paperback blue, number nine. Go ahead, just start us in. Alright, sing it out. It's not an easy road. Sing it. Dun, dun. On the way. It's not an easy road, but the Savior is with us. His presence gives us joy every day. No, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside me and brightens my pathway and lightens every heavy. Second stanza. It's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles, and many are the dangers we meet. But Jesus guards and keeps us, so nothing can harm us. Sing it. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. No, no, it's not an easy road. But Jesus walks beside me and brightens the journey and lightens every heavy. Third stanza. Though I am often footsore and weary, blessing. You gave Brother Rex $2,582, and he's already tithed it. He's already given his tithe back to the church, so I know he's happy, and know you're happy, and appreciate your generosity. All right, anything I may have? You just going to play basketball tonight? How many of you guys want to play basketball? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, there's a bunch of them there. Okay, all right. Good night. We'll see you in the morning.